Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is April 16th, 2022. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joe with me. And I'm just going to let Jim pick it up. You've got four main stories you want to touch on. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, thank you, Stu. It's great to be back with you guys. We have the Russian Black Sea flagship sinking, which may have been carrying nuclear warheads like Britain. It was more than 400 sailors could have gone down with their ship. This is a MOSP, a Soviet air guided missile cruiser, which sank near Sevastopol on Thursday. Ukraine claimed it was hit with two cruise missiles. I believe it was hit with missiles, but whether they came from Ukraine is another question. I heard a report. They actually were American missiles that were fired from Romania. But you can count on the Russians investigating. They're going to send, deep sea divers there to find out exactly what happened. And they're not going to allow this to pass without a retaliation. Apart from providing Ukraine with a propaganda victory, the sinking has practical implications for Russia. The vessel, because it was a flagship, was likely tasked with coordinating the movements of other ships in the Black Sea. Its role is also to provide cover for Russia's other ships using anti-air missiles while they launch crew missile attacks themselves against cities and military sites. So its loss will make them more vulnerable to Ukrainian attacks, including by fast jets or drones. This happened just after Boris Johnson met with Zelensky in Kiev and vowed to send 120 armored vehicles and new anti-ship missiles. I'm afraid that the West is getting deeply entangled and that we're precipitating World War III. In fact, Russian state television is reporting that World War III has already begun with the sinking of the ship. Russian state television has declared World War III has already begun after the sinking of the Moskva in the Ukraine war. While Russia claimed it was damaged after a fire, Ukraine claims credit for having taken it out with a Neptune missile, as I've already explained. I think it was a U.S. missile coming from Romania. The sinking has led to very concerned about the spokesman for Russia, for the presenter Kulka, made a chilling statement informing the viewers that what it's escalated into can safely be called World War III. I'm thinking that's entirely for sure. Why this is important is the anchor on Russian state television. Now we're definitely fighting against NATO infrastructure, if not NATO itself. We need to recognize that. This is very, very serious. According to NATO commentators, they've lost 500 tanks, 2,000 other vehicles, 82 aircraft, 18,000 soldiers, and now a battle cruiser, and NATO has yet to arrive. It's fair to say in this war, if you view it as a war that NATO is not doing well for Russia, I'm not at all convinced that's the way it's playing out, but that's the way it is being portrayed. And I add, Stars and Stripes is even reporting Russia's warning the United States to stop arming Ukraine. And Putin means that when he says these things. I mean, he tries to be, very civilized about it. But the United States, where Biden has just authorized another 800 million package, including 155 howitzers, is not going to be well received. And I mean that the NATO forces of the West are, with high probability now, and I hate to say it, but with high probability, precipitating a nuclear exchange with Russia.
Joe, I want you to touch on the fact of the Ukraine attacking two cities in Russia. Could you get into that?
Yeah, there were two villages that were attacked by helicopters on the Russian side. I don't know, some apartment buildings were blown up, and I don't know what other damage. But my like listening to Jim, I just, the thing that strikes me the most is that Putin is not a fool. And one of the bottom lines, if I can think of this, I know he's already thought of this and they're acting on it, is that Russia's GDP is the size of Texas. How could he have a sustained war with the West?
I'm in agreement. Now, Jim, you're touching on the fact of NATO. Now, out of Dover, Delaware, they shipped a whole bunch of weapons over there to the Ukraine, the U.S. did, reportedly, that Biden's providing for them. Now, Russia has its own territory. The Ukraine is part of Russia's territory, basically. We have no right, no NATO or anything has any right to even interfere in what's going on in the Ukraine. That's my belief. Now, that, you know, I'm an ex-Marine like you are, Jim, Professor Jim Fetzer, you know, and this is leading to war. I can see it coming. I've been screaming it for a week or two, and Joe and I have been talking about it, all the different events that are going on, and said we'll hold back on doing a show on this. But I believe you're correct in this, Jim. We're going to end up in World War III. Now, there was a couple so-called prophets, and I'll just bring it up briefly. One was Dmitry Duderman. You can look him up on the internet, folks. He was a Russian KGB officer, locked up 18 years in the Gulag or something, gets out. He starts sneaking Bibles in when they had the Berlin Wall into East Germany from West Germany. And if you took a Bible in there, they'd kill you. I mean, that was a no-no. Now, Russian Putin, I respect because he opened up Christianity. He opened up the churches and Bibles and everything in Russia and the other countries. He allowed that to go on. He's got common sense. He's a smart guy. He's a former intelligence officer himself in Russia, and he's not stupid. But Dmitry Duderman came to America, went through the Prophecy Club in 1994. I was scheduled to do that tour. I got anthraxed. He took my place. Now, he and Dmitry Duderman and Henry Gruber sat at a table in Ohio, a friend of mine that I met over in Ohio doing a speech in 94, became friends. He called me and he said that he heard Dmitry and Henry Gruber, who's a preacher out of Iowa, both had prophecies almost identical, except for one thing. Henry Gruber said at the table there, they were talking before he did a speech, and he says, the only difference, Stu, that between these two so-called prophecies that they both had received, apparently, is that Henry Gruber said he saw all these towers dotting America. They had all these towers, cell towers. He said before, this was before cell towers were being erected in America. Now we've got two huge networks of these cell towers all over America. Could that be before we get nuked? But they saw the United States getting hit. We fired back. We hit Russia. China invaded us along with Russia. All I can say is this, folks. We are so close to World War III if it hasn't really begun. If you don't have a gun, go get one. If you're low on ammo, get some ammo. If you got ammo over a year old, a lot of the ammo back in the mid-90s, they made it to where the trigger in the ammo died. It basically fizzled out within a year to 2 years after buying the ammo. So get some fresh ammo. You're going to need it, I believe. And if you don't have food stocked up, be prepared. Get your grills prepared. Get some wood prepared. And get as much canned goods as you can right now. Go ahead, Jim.
I think you're right across the board, Stu. I mean, the way this is heading and the unrelenting way with the West is ignoring everything Putin has to say. I put it at 95% probability that we're going to have a nuclear war with Russia. And while, yes, their GDP is relatively modest compared to that in the USA. They have invested wisely in military equipment. They're prepared for a war they don't want to fight. And the U.S. is not, or the West is not prepared for a war they do want to fight. So I do not foresee a positive outcome for the West. I think Russia has a far greater capacity to survive a nuclear exchange Meanwhile, right here in the USA, we have the most interesting development with Elon Musk attempting to buy 100% of Twitter and to restore free speech. Now, it's amazing, but if you think back to 15 years ago, there weren't any issues about free speech. There were free exchanges. Everyone could publish their point of view. There was not this massive censorship. So what Musk is doing, in my opinion, is a very worthy enterprise. I want him to succeed. He became Twitter's largest shareholder with a 9.2% purchase over the last few months. He's made a public offer to buy 100% of the company at $54.20 a share, which is an 18% premium over Twitter's closing price yesterday. At Musk's quoted price, the purchase would come to $43 billion. In his publicly disclosed communication with the chairman of Twitter's board, Musk said promoting free speech around the world was the motivation behind his offer. I believe that 100%. Now, over 2 million Twitter users voted and participated in a poll where 70% said they did not believe the platform adheres to free speech. Prominent conservatives also responded, urging Musk to buy the platform. In the SEC filing showed that at the time of the poll, this is on the 25th of March, Musk had already purchased his 9.2%. Meanwhile, the Twitter board has reacted by adopting a poison pill after his offer to buy the company. They chose the limited duration shareholder rights plan after an unsolicited non-binding proposal to acquire Twitter and then advance by Musk. Under the approved provision, if any entity, person, or group acquired 15% or more of Twitter's outstanding stock in a transaction not approved by the board, other stockholders will be able to buy additional shares of common stock at a lower price. This is intended to reduce the likelihood that any entity, person, or group could gain control of Twitter through the open market without paying all shareholders an appropriate control premium or without providing the board sufficient time to make informed judgments and take actions in the best interest of the shareholders. Now, Adam Kantor, a law professor at Michigan State, told the Epoch Times before the decision was announced that the board could face legal consequences if they turned out an offer that's financially lucrative to shareholders. Twitter's owned by shareholders, and the directors have to act in a way that's in their best interest, not in a way that allows them to keep control of the corporation if they turn down a very favorable price, which of course Musk gets offered. There will be dereliction of their legal duty, and there could be lots of legal consequences, and you can well anticipate Elon Musk will know what moves to make.
I want to touch on something else here. Joe, you got any comment on that?
No.
Okay. Give us a report on what Dane Wigington is saying, GeoWatch Engineering.
Oh, yeah. Dane is he's simply calling it the collapse of the environment. And because of the loss of ice on the poles, there are pockets of methane gas that are beginning to, these bubbles of methane gas are sometimes 5 miles in diameter, and they're floating to the surface. So he has a big concern about there may be an imminent collapse of the ozone.
Now, tell him what the particles are that he's reporting.
So we'll see. He says that, it's his opinion, and he's very well aware of the weather manipulation that the elites are doing. And he says one of the reasons that he thinks that they're in such a hurry to do these things, they're trying to prevent the environmental collapse.
Now, he's reporting so many particles in the atmosphere of the methane that has increased. What were those numbers?
4 parts per billion, it is now up to 4,000 parts per billion.
Now, folks, methane gas is what they burn off oil stacks when they're extracting oil out of the ground. It's a big fireball on the top of the stack. Out in the Gulf of Mexico, as an example, when BP collapsed, the methane gas created a dead zone in the Gulf. This was back in the, when was it, 20-something, I forgot, or it was 15 years ago. Now, that methane gas came up in the Four Corners, they call it, of Missouri, down there in Tennessee, Arkansas, etc., right out of the Mississippi River, right next to it. Methane gas started coming up, and they closed down the whole county down there. Now, the women had ate fish out of the Gulf because of the dead zone, and the amount of methane gas, there were over 6,000 miscarriages in the first year from people eating out of the Gulf. Now, there's a high probability, because the methane gas is still coming out, they had to close that whole county down, because if someone lit a cigarette or lit their fireplace, or they had a natural gas burning heater, it could have blown the whole place up. They had to move everybody out of that. That was several years back. Now, methane gas is deadly. One breath of methane gas, and there's a second gas that comes out of those oil wells, will kill you. Will kill you instantly. Now, I wonder about something, because the Gulf of Mexico, on the Scalen map that's out on the internet from years ago, showed the Gulf of Mexico clear to the Great Lakes. Half of Missouri would be underwater, Illinois would be underwater, and the whole Gulf would open up. All it would take is a nuclear exchange to blow that friggin' place up, folks. We are getting ready for chaos if we have that happen. Now, go ahead, Jim.
Well, I find that fascinating, Stu. I think most of what's being touted as the problem with global warming, namely CO2, is unscientific and contradicted by the history of the planet. Where you can go back 600 million years and you can find there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of the planet. If there's no correlation, there can be no causal relation, so this all appears to be nonsense. It is the case that Earth has gone through cycles of heating and warm and cooling. In fact, it turns out CO2 has the effect of cooling the planet in four different dimensions by doing an extended series of interviews with Joel Olson, who's just a brilliant engineer and who studied this very carefully, that's available on my MipShoot channel, Jim Fetzer. We have 9 different installments now, or episodes, and it's a very worthwhile task for those who are in a quandary here to understand what's really going on, to check it out. The global warming business is a sham. The whole idea of going to electric cars and all that is absurd. It costs more energy to produce an electric car than it saves. Electric cars have very limited distance. You've got to stop and recharge. It takes hours to recharge an electric battery versus minutes to replenish a gasoline tank. It's good for a second vehicle around town, but not for a primary. And it's going to have very deleterious effects. The amount of mining for precious metals to make these electric car batteries is extensive. And those that care about the environment really ought not to be enthusiastic about the green agenda. It's really being propagated by a lot of know-nothings and airheads, like AOC, who doesn't know an airplane idea. She has been braced with enthusiasm. So I find what you're saying about methane very interesting, because some of these environmental zealots, since cow farts are made of methane, we'll have to get rid of cows so they're not going to contribute, but it's just absurd. And to take away gas and oil and coal as sources of energy is going to be catastrophic for the American economy. Catastrophic.
I might add something, because you did mention on these electric cars, because I installed three solar systems full of Voltex cells. Little windmill turbines that go up on the roof, look like an air turbine. None of those big things. House operated, 2,3500 square foot house, as an example, in Overland Bar, Kansas. Stanley operated 100%. Their air conditioners, heater, everything. It was all electric. Here's the point. I looked into photovoltaics on cars. There's a California company that sells where you can take, and they're designed for each car. It's a kit you can buy for about $3,000 to $5,000 and install it yourself. They'll install it for you and hook it up to electric cars. And you don't have to stop and plug your car in and so on and so forth. You spend about $5,000 and you can actually glue this thing down on top of your car with instructions on how to hook everything up to your battery. Just thought I'd throw that out there, Jim, for those that are buying electric cars. Now,
continue on, Jim, because he has two more points to go over. Let's go ahead.
Well, it turns out the U.S. Department of Defense was granting COVID-19 research in Ukraine 3 months before the infectious disease was even known to exist. In other words, this is before there was this respiratory ailment known as COVID-19. They were already funding research on COVID-19 by name. This is very bizarre. This matter has been brought to light by the Daily Expose, which had discovered that in the notorious biolab, the Ukraine, opened with funding from the Department of Defense in 2012, the Pentagon was sponsoring research into COVID-19 3 months before it was even officially named. It should, in fact, be remembered in the course of SARS, 2003, and MERS, 2012, the same name was used both for the virus, SARS-CoV and MERS-CoV, and for the resulting pathology. In the case of the current pandemic, a distinction has been made between the pathogen, SARS-CoV-2, and the infectious disease caused by it. This discovery and further evidence of the most terrible and ruthless criminal manipulation in the history of humanity makes the need to certify the laboratory origins of the virus and identify the responsibilities that has been claimed in the Wuhan Gate investigations by the late virologist Luc Montagnier, who said everyone who got the jab would be dead within 5 years. Always lead to an affair between the deep states of China and the USA, a very, very disturbing stuff. The world first began to hear of the novel coronavirus in January 2020, with reports of an alleged new pneumonia-like illness spreading across Wuhan, China. However, the world did not actually know of COVID-19 until February of 2020, because it was not until the 11th of that month that the World Health Organization officially named the novel coronavirus disease as COVID-19. So, with this being the case, why does the United States government data show that the DOD awarded a contract on the 12th of November of 2019 to Labyrinth Global Health Incorporated for COVID-19 research, at least a month before the alleged emergence of the novel coronavirus, and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19. I find this very troubling, Stu.
It is very troubling. Now, Joel, how many deaths have we got in the United States from taking the vaccination?
Well, I can't really give a scientific comment on it, but I've heard from different websites the death is all the way up to 2 million.
Now, this was designed to kill people, basically what it is. If you take the shot, you're dead within 5 years because of the proteins, and they're already saying you're shedding. In other words, you're breathing the virus, these viruses that they've created from it, you're breathing it into the atmosphere. So if you're in the room with someone that's had the vaccination, there's a high probability you may get sick from it. I just want to touch on that. Because I see this as a plot-planted evil game to destroy two-thirds of mankind. Now, I want to touch on something. Back to the Ukraine for a minute, Jim and Joel. Is that a Franklin Tao, Franklin T-A-O, it was reported that he was arrested or, you know, charged and he was a professor at K-State, Kansas State University in Manhattan. And he was arrested in the last year of the Trump administration, because Trump was on to him, because they were shipping biological chemical agents from K-State that they were developing. They were sending it to the Ukraine, and they were creating laboratories underground. Now, I just got a video from someone that's out of the country, a friend of mine, and her husband and her were quite well aware of it, of what was going on, and that's one of the reasons they did leave the country, because of the heat that came down on them. But K-State's involved in a lot of stuff, but they shipped it over there, and she sent me a video the other day, I've got to get it up, to where Russia actually found a huge underground biochemical base in the Ukraine. Now, they had enough over there to basically kill everybody on the planet. I mean, this is bizarre. But I want to mention something else about K-State. They developed what's called liquid faction. Liquid faction is where two Marines could take this machine and go down to one end of Long Island in New York, and two other Marines can go to the other end, carry the machine in there, set it down, turn them on, and all of a sudden the whole island of Manhattan and or etc., everything liquefies the soil, and all buildings get sucked up into the ground, including all human beings. This is the kind of technology that has been developed. I happened to stop there because of a super spook told me about it, Otis Johnson, before his death. And I was going up to redo a house in Nebraska that he got me, and go up and give the guy a bid, and he took it on the spot, and I ended up staying up there and doing his house, remodeling it. Here was the point. I stopped there at 36 Highway and 81. They're in Manhattan, just north of K-State. I stopped. There's a Motel 6 there on the corner, and where government people stay when they come in town. But I happened to go just behind the Motel 6, and it said K-State Agricultural Department. So I pulled in the driveway to pull back in, and all of a sudden I had two cops in trucks, federal police with automatic shotguns on my ass. They were going to blow me away and ask me, coming up, knocking on my windows. I'm turning around. What are you doing in here? I said, I'm turning around. I mean, they told me to get the hell out. So I drive the way that Otis told me, go on west on 36 and take a look. You'll see there's these little parking places where they pull off, and they're designed for them to be hidden near these trees, and they can't be seen. I just thought I'd tell you, our universities are developing this stuff and selling it because of the Bush crime syndicate all over. Now, there was a Harvard professor, if you recall, Joe, that was arrested about the same time that this Franklin Tao, T-A-O, was arrested, and they claim that they're the ones that had developed the COVID and sent it over to China. And this was a Chinese intelligence officer working as a professor at one of the, I forgot where it was, Harvard, or do you remember, Joe?
No.
Okay. Anyway, this was underneath the last year underneath Trump. He had him arrested. But they passed it on, and they're claiming that was the virus that Soros and others at that lab over in China developed and turned loose on us. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But all I know is we've developed a lot of stuff, and it's just gone right out of our country. It's just like 2,000 pounds of uranium missing off of Rocky Flats. The Israelis got it from Bush, and my ex-father-in-law was involved in shipping it with the cranberry juice. Ocean spray, they were putting it in the trucks, taking it to St. Louis, Missouri, and flying it from there to Israel. Now, the reason they used ocean spray cranberry juice, in case you didn't know, folks, we got detectors on every highway in America, and they can pick up any kind of radiation. It means you're carrying radiation, except for cranberries put off the same thing on these detectors as what does uranium, plutonium, etc. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, my last story for today is the Biden administration has been very eager to change the narrative away from the economy, the flood of migrants coming across the border that are going to permanently change the demographics of the United States, the food shortages, supply problems, and a host of other issues, not to mention the continuation of deaths from the vaccine, more evidence coming out that January 6th was contrived, and a huge amount of proof that the 2020 election was stolen, and a new documentary entitled 2,000 Mules that is narrated by Denisha D'Souza that shows how using Zuckbox, Mark Zuckerberg hired 2,000 individuals to stuff the drop boxes with fake ballots in truth about how the election was stolen that I think even the most diehard Democrats are going to have a difficult time disavowing. Well, in order to attempt to change the topic, Biden's introduced concerns about ghost guns, and immediately thereafter, we have a New York City subway shooting of a suspect with a gun, wears a gas mask, releases a gas canister. And if you want to know the absurdity of it, they even found a credit card at the scene of the shooting that matched a credit card user in a U-Haul that was found about five blocks away. This is like the magic passport that, well, you had the Twin Towers being blown apart in every direction, where you had these 500,000-ton steel and concrete buildings being converted into very fine dust. A passport made out of cloth miraculously survived. Well, here the suspect conveniently has a credit card found at the scene. They don't mention his race in the initial reports. He's around 5'5" and 170-180 pounds, but he turns out to be black. He's a person by the name of Frank James. It turns out the way they were initially saying it wasn't a terrorist attack. It turns out he's been on a terrorist watch list, even under surveillance. And when you study videos of the event, it bears a resemblance to what happened in Boston. You may recall, peering through the smoke, you could see bodies lying there, missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later. It came out of these little orange doppelbag fake blood kits, which of course means the whole thing was staged, because it's a physiological possibility that limbs blown off by explosives and for there to be no blood. Well, when the passengers come pouring off the train, the subway, there's no blood. The blood only shows up later. It turns out they dropped a packet of blood so that someone would step on it at a convenient time later to have a small pool of blood. But there's also a woman there who's got like a spray can who's putting down blood on the scene. You have a woman who's moving back and forth, who's directing the whole scene. You have another woman with a brown bag who is perfectly unharmed, and yet subsequently we see her on the street being put onto a stretcher to be loaded into an ambulance. They claim he fired 33 shots, which of course is the sonic number that's been said, typically occurs here for these events. And they have a video recording where it's on a tripod because there's no handheld device. You don't see any jiggle, anything like that. This was clearly a contrived event. All of Boston bombing. Biden needed to change the subject. They know if it leads, it leads in terms of the media. This is their best ever. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an event possibly going to come up. I posted the video. It's on YouTube, folks. You want to take a look at it. I'll have the show up in a little while, and hopefully you'll be able to listen. But take a look, Jim, yourself, and Joel. Take a look on my website about April the 18th, false flag. That's coming up Monday. These are intelligence officers putting this information out. They've done it before, and they're very accurate, and it's something to do with space-time. You listen to the video that they found in Iraq when they invaded Iraq. It was something the aliens, which are the fallen angel technology that Iraq had, and they were able to look into these time frames. Now, prayer works, in my opinion, to put a stop to things, but it's up to the individual whether they believe in Christ or God to put something to an end. It can happen. I wanted to bring that up, possibility, and you might listen to it, Jim. There's a high probability because they will blame Russia, is what they're reporting. These are intelligence officers reporting without giving their names or anything. They're claiming that this will drag us into the war and create World War III. Now, they're doing that as a false flag, and it's the Biden administration that is behind this. That's one thing I want to point out. A second thing is that I have a new video, and it's Stu Webb Chronicles. And it says copyrighted all over the front. It's going to be changed because the guy's coming back because he's going to add a couple of people, very famous, that will add to my video. And we're going to bring it up to date. Now, third, I want to bring up is Jim. You are going to the Supreme Court over Sandy Hook being a false flag. Gun grab is what it was. And you've never been able to present any of your evidence or your witnesses in a court of law. And it's actually going to Supreme Court, which is totally bizarre. It should have been heard in the first court. You want to give out your website where people can contribute to your efforts?
Yes. Well, my funding site, my crowdfunding site is givesendgo.com/fundingpetzer. You can read about the case there. More and more evidence is coming out of Sandy Hook being a fraud, but in terms of my writ to the Supreme Court of the United States, I'm restricted to dealing only with issues that were developed during the course of the proceedings where a summary judgment was abused and used against me when the most basic issue in the case, the authenticity of a death certificate, was in doubt. I was being sued over disputing his authenticity. I submitted the report of two forensic document examiners who agreed with me, and the judge had set it aside and performed the function of a jury by deciding this dispute, in fact, that it had to be sent to a jury. That's just one illustration. Then the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, instead of reviewing my case from the ground up, to which I was entitled, in which they were obligated to provide, quoted the official narrative and cited two cases in the courts where, which had been decided on procedural grounds, where none of these cases have reached the question of whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. I made repeated efforts to do that. I sought to intervene in the Soto versus Remington suit to make the point that no one has determined the predicate on which this case is based. Did anybody die at Sandy Hook? And guess what? I was not only opposed by the Sandy Hook, fake Sandy Hook parents, which came as no surprise, I was also opposed by Remington, seemingly eager to give out what would have had $73 million in a fantastic insurance scam. I've now gone to the tax court to claim this is also the bankruptcy court to claim this is now a bankruptcy scam. And I'm pressing the point. I'm very glad to have the opportunity. I have excellent attorneys who are drafting my writ. And I have the law on my side. I have the facts, the evidence on my side. What I don't have is the money. So anyone who is inclined to contribute, this is not just from the First and the Second Amendment, but it's also for the right not to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. This case represents a massive abuse of due process, and it's very appropriate that the U.S. Supreme Court should follow up on this, accept my writ, and then have hearings on my case before the court. So anyone who's up for that, givesendgo.com/fundingpetzer. Check it out, and if you're so disposed, I would welcome your support.
And I want to add something, Jim. You know, the judicial system is so screwed. Folks, I had a tail. She ran into me because I took her picture. It's up on the breaking news column, and she's giving me the finger. You click on that picture, and you go and look and judge for yourself. This woman calls the cops on me. Well, I'm calling the cops, telling them I'm being tailed. I'm videotaping her after she ran in the back of me and pulling a parking lot. And I'm charged with harassment and careless driving because she falsely reported me having a gun. I put in a bill of particulars in the municipal court, which they don't accept, asking which government agency she was on the payroll on that day and the whole bit. They did not answer it. I had the judge said right off the bat when I asked her that question, whose payroll were you on that day? He says, I think we're going to have a competency hearing on you right here, Mr. Webb. Sit down over here and all this other crap. Well, he finds me guilty, $600 fine, and I go and appeal it myself. Now, what's interesting in the state of Missouri is if you get a ticket or you're coming out of a municipal court, which is a revenue for the city, you do not have the right to a public defender, which I'm going to change the law here in Missouri and see to it that everybody has the right to a public defender who can't afford an attorney. So this prosecutor went to such extremes. I sued him. I didn't have it grounded properly because I'm not an attorney. and it was kicked back under without prejudice, and the judge told me I had the right to sue her, and he had the clerk send me the proper forms just to fill out to ground my suit. In the meantime, the prosecutor puts in an order, because I had appealed this and it went to the county court, she put in a pro bono complaint to have me mentally evaluated, locked up and mentally evaluated, because I'm not competent to represent myself and I'm not competent to even stand trial, she says. I had to hire an attorney, $1,200, to get me out of this problem. He told me because of the heat that I'm carrying and the whole bit, just to plead guilty and pay the $600 fine. He went through hell and we had to have a separate hearing on this, and the judge dropped it. But this is the prosecutorial misconduct and judicial misconduct that goes on in the courts in this land. This prosecutor put in on a pro bono basis that I need to be evaluated. I mean, what a crock of crap that I've seen in the courts. I've never been convicted of a thing, but this is bizarre that I had to plead guilty to keep from being locked up in a mental hospital, folks, out of a municipality. With that said, Jim, you got any last words on anything?
No, I appreciate all these opportunities to be with you and Joel, and I wish you a wonderful Easter weekend. I hope everyone will spend as much time as they can with the friends and family people they love, because between the prospect of nuclear war and the vax, which is murdering millions, we do not know how much time we have left.
And be careful on Monday, folks. Something big will come, because they're going to do everything they can to drag us into this and make it a World War III conflict, in my opinion. Whether it happens or not, I don't know, but that's my opinion. Now, Joe, do you have any last words?
No, not at all.
Okay, Jim?
No, we're going to. Thanks so much. Well, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter to you, and happy Easter to you, Joe, and all my listeners. And I want to thank you both for coming on with me. And have a good day, both of you.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.